Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Women in Agile podcast series. I am your host, Emily Lindt, and today's episode features Gabrielle Hayes. Gabrielle Hayes is a pioneer who transforms the product development industry by unlocking the untapped potential of professionals through empowerment and teaching how to harness a growth mindset. Her mission is to guide product professionals towards unlocking their full potential, fostering unshakable confidence, and achieving the lives they aspire to lead in the career they love. In this conversation, you will hear a lot of passion from both of us around the power of choice in your life and in your career, and how it relates to your product management journey. As decision makers, it seems your first product management trial is grounding yourself with your own core values, authenticity, and empowerment to pioneer the career and life that you want. I'm excited to see what you all learn from this discussion and what passion it lights within you. Thanks for tuning in to the Women in Agile podcast. We hope you enjoy this conversation with Gabrielle Hayes. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good whenever you are listening to this on your podcast platform of choice or Podbean or Women in Agile podcast.org. So welcome to another episode of the Women in Agile podcast series. I'm your host, Emily Lindt, and today we're speaking with Gabrielle Hayes.
Hey, Emily, it's so nice to be here with you.
Yeah, nice to have you on. Gabrielle and I have actually worked together. And is it Gabrielle or Gabriella? I just want to make sure that I'm getting that correctly.
Yep, Gabrielle or Gabby if it's easier.
Okay. Well, too many options. I'm going to get confused. But awesome. Cool. I thought it was Gabrielle. I just wanted to make sure. So, but Gabrielle and I have actually worked together a couple different times for the Agile Careers work that I do with the nonprofit that I started with Jess Brock. So lots of fun women involved in the career space and helping others to really find fulfillment in their careers and helping each other finding those space in those careers. So really excited to talk with Gabrielle today and really share some of the experience that she shared with our team and with our group of community, as well as out into the Women in Agile space. So where are you actually based out of, Gabrielle?
These days, I am based out of Florida. I am a bit of a gypsy, so we travel around a bit, but these days in Florida.
Yeah. What places have you traveled to this year?
Oh man, we've been to a lot. Pretty much all of the East Coast, up and down the East Coast, and been out in Oklahoma is where we were living for a while. So we have covered quite a bit this year as I look back at it and realize how much we were on the go.
Wonderful. Do you have like an RV that you travel with, or do you use like Airbnbs? What's kind of your mode of transportation?
Yeah, I think a lot of times I'm traveling for clients. So hotel stays, and as much as I can, the family will tag along when I'm up visiting different clients. And then my husband always says we have a spool bus, which is just this big old expedition that fits everyone in it. And our kids have gotten really good at just throwing their stuff in a bag and getting ready to roll.
That's awesome. I'd like to have that for my future family too, is just like this expectation of you got a to-go bag, you know, Emily's feeling squirrely. Let's go hike something.
I love it.
Awesome. So going back to, you know, Agile and this Agile space, but great to learn a bit more about you and also know how much of a travel buff that you are. I'm also a travel buff, try to be. How did you find Agile?
Yeah, I found it by accident that I think, you know, many of us in the product and Agile space do. I was actually going to work for a startup to be an implementation director, but the product didn't work when I got there. So there wasn't really much to implement. And we ended up bringing in a fabulous consultant who I now work with very closely. And she was my coach and my mentor and really showed me the way. So I feel very thankful that I got this kind of one-on-one training as my very first introduction into Agile.
Wonderful. Is that Jackie?
It is Jackie. Yeah.
It is Jackie. Oh, that's awesome. Great. Well, speaking of, Jackie and that kind of mentoring relationship, as well as the, how you've seen the Agile space grow. So when did that happen for you when you kind of met Jackie and you started this relationship, started really dipping into Agile?
Yeah, that was about 5 or 6 years ago when I left corporate healthcare and then really started to see what the world looked like when you could move faster and it wasn't, the speed of turning the Titanic with every decision that we made.
Fair, especially in healthcare, it can feel very bureaucratic at certain points in times. So what have you observed about the role of women in the Agile community since that point in time, since you got into it?
Yeah, women, in my eyes, tend to be really natural leaders in this space. And a lot of it, I believe, is tied to the real personal support that it takes to organize an Agile team and really see things move forward. If you really look at it, right, so many of us, when you're moving at such a quick pace or really even just trying to implement, Agile with a new team, there's a lot of fear and a lot of uncertainty for anyone who's new in that area. And so I have found women tend to be the natural leaders that step up and really make sure that everyone who's going through this transition or this speed of change feels that support and safety in the work that they're doing.
Interesting. What do you feel that women have of that particular skill set, or you've seen that occur over the years where they've kind of naturally went to that place?
That's a great question. My instant thought is this intuition that we have to be able to pick up on how others are feeling or others are experiencing, but maybe not vocalizing. And we just have this awareness that I have seen that we pick up faster when things are getting a little derailed, or again, someone doesn't necessarily feel safe or stable in the situation that they're in, and we're able to jump in quicker. And that seems to be one of the ways that I have found a lot of success with myself and other women in my network, is just really being like 5 steps ahead all the time.
Yeah, kind of the chaos coordinators, the as well as the empathy, the intuition and authenticity, managers of this new team or of these transitions. Very true. All right, great. So what we're going to talk about a lot today and what you wanted to talk about specifically to the Women in Agile community is around career searching and prepping and transitioning potentially to an Agile career or to a different type of Agile career, talking about how to make those transitions, how to continue to grow in that way. So, how do you believe women have traditionally gone about finding their career?
Yeah. I think for many, it depends on a lot of what you're choosing for what your family structure looks like. And I think that becomes the first decision is how available do I need to be to family at home or family who lives in other places? And that, I think, for a lot of the time has been the deciding factor. There, it has been a little bit of like, what do I enjoy? What do I like? But for so long, we have fallen into this, community-based, you just kind of go to school and go to college and then pick a job and then you just grow in that space. And I'm really proud to say that I see so many more people being intentional, women in particular, with what they do and what's more important, what they don't want, and standing up for that.
Yeah, I really like that. I think that that definitely reflects into some of the career choices that I've made, especially recently. I started my own business in 2021 and I never had, there was no entrepreneurs in my family. Like we were very much, I come from both a Southern family and a Northern Irish Catholic family. And so it's very much like you begin after either college or community college or getting your, GED or your degree, and then you just keep doing that thing. like my dad started out as a civil engineer, as a drafter, and then he just kept working up and is still doing the same things, but at like higher levels, and same with my mom who got into nursing.
You know, and so I didn't really have anybody who really started off on their own or created a business. So it was something that even now I kind of feel that separation from my family because I'm like, I don't know how we can talk to each other. And since then, my sister has also started her own business. So now we have a couple different examples in our family, but it still can be kind of, it can still be hard when you can't lean on the traditional support systems you might've had.
Oh, that's such a good point. And I'm with you. I'm in the same boat. You know, entrepreneurship was never modeled to me. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I will say, I think it does, you know, definitely make it a lot harder if you are the first who's deciding to go down that path. Because there's so much of it that's unknown. But it can be the same way if you grew up in a family full of entrepreneurs and you're the first one to try and take a corporate job. You know, all of it can feel very, very, you know, hard to learn or hard to model if you didn't see it growing up.
Yeah. And I like that parallel too to Agile careers because Scrum Master, Product Manager, Product Owner, all of these things are just very new terms from this digital age and from the Agile transformations themselves, you know, really starting out in the 2000s. So I know we have some folks that are going to be like, no, early 90s with like Agile XP. But when we're talking about all of these different frameworks and roles, we really didn't start to pick up on some of those new roles and responsibilities. And I feel like we still have a lot of questions. Usually as a coach, I come in and answer a lot of questions around roles and responsibilities first. And we're 20 years into it. So, you know, what's your advice for those who are what is your advice for how women should shift potentially into choosing their careers, and particularly in Agile?
Yeah. Very first thing I'm always going to recommend is get real with yourself. Who are you at your core? What actually matters to you? What is the level of impact you want to make? And be okay with whatever the reality of those answers are. For so long, we have had these thoughts or these dreams, or we feel very differently than what society tells us to. So we're afraid to be honest and say, like, I'm cool with just a 9-to-5 where when I shut my laptop, my day is done and I go home. And that's perfect for certain people. There are other people who see their role in Agile and their role in the product space as like, this is my chance to make an impact on the world. So they want to go all in on it. And both are completely okay. And anything in between is completely okay. But you've got to be really honest with yourself before you can be honest and show up authentically somewhere else.
Wonderful. I love that. So can you tell me, like, can you give me an example of how you define kind of those core values, those core desires for yourself and how it helped you choose your own career?
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say my experience has also helped that. I think so many times we hear you have to pick a core value or core values and you have to stick with them. And I believe as you continue through life and you have experiences, that changes and you open your eyes to different things. And I think for me, product was a prime example of that. Before I landed in a product role, I literally didn't know product existed. When you work in corporate healthcare, IT is on their own campus behind locked doors. Like, you have no idea what's going on over there. You know, it's a whole different world. And so I was really thankful to get that exposure because that was really the clarity for me that I needed. That when I look at my core values and what really helped me decide what I wanted to do going forward in my career, there were two things that I wanted. One was impact. And I wanted to feel like I was making a difference in the immediate people around me, but also the world around me. And in my eyes, anyone who's in Agile and in product, we are doing that every single day because we're supposed to be making things easier and better for our team, but also for all of our users. The second thing is love is a core value of mine, and not in like a weird way, right? But in that I want anyone who is spending time around me, who's with my energy, that they feel this love and support and that I am a safe place for them. And so that was a perfect match for my Agile space because I was changing things regularly or we were trying new things regularly and there had to be some sort of safety and stability as we were constantly making changes.
No, I love that. And I think, you know, especially as like a product role, to me, I'm thinking connection, that was really something that you wanted. You want to facilitate that connection and that empathy and that understanding, that compassion. And I think that's not, you know, I can see how you think, oh, love, weird. But at the core of good products is showing love to others. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And when we embody that, it becomes a lot easier to embody our users and their thoughts and their feelings and their behaviors to make sure that they're at the forefront of every decision we're making.
Wonderful. Great. I think for myself, one of the things that, you know, the core value that I found over everything else, there's several core values, right? But was freedom and then service were like the two things that I really wanted to embody in my own career. And when I made the shift to entrepreneurship, I was like, I was deciding across a few different options. But I wanted that freedom. I wanted to have the autonomy. I wanted to be able to take breaks when I wanted to. I was feeling very burnt out. And so entrepreneurship was a heavy part of that, and making sure that I got to have the opportunities to be more free and more available to myself and to my friends and my family through my career. However, I wanted to make sure that I was doing that in service to both the community and my clients, my fellow customers and things like that, as well as the Agile community. So that's kind of kept me a little bit more rooted, because otherwise, if you just have freedom, then it's like, well, you know, just do whatever then. But I really felt a connection to serving the community of the Agile space. So with that example, do you feel like I've chosen a good career path? Is there anything you might suggest for me?
I was just getting ready to say, well, I feel like you have completely embodied those in the time that you and I have known each other. And I love that you brought up the balance, you know, because I think, you know, a lot of times you pick one core value or one main goal, and it can be really hard without these kind of guardrails around that same value of what does it actually mean to show up in that value? Because you're right, with freedom, it could be like, screw you. I'm not taking calls on Mondays or Fridays or Wednesdays. I only work 2 hours a day. You know, like, you can choose that. That's part of being an entrepreneur. But is that really serving your community and your own business that you're trying to grow? Those are the kinds of questions that you ask yourself to use as guardrails to keep within your values.
I like that. So it's kind of having your values, but then setting aside, I like the term of guardrails or even like boundaries, if we want to think a little bit wider around that, of like, what does freedom really mean to you? For you, Gabrielle, what does impact really mean to you? How do you see the evidence of those? But we're gonna go down a rabbit hole there. How do individuals then know that an Agile career is for them? What do you think about the values and desires that matter, that connect to those careers?
I think you also have to, with that question, you know, take a realistic look at what the market and the industry is looking like these days. Because when I got started in it, it was still very stable, even though it was really new. So you could be really intentional just around your values and what you wanted to provide, and then find a role that fit that. You know, times have changed a little bit. The market, you know, obviously, as we all know, has been really rough this year. And, you know, they're predicting quite a few changes in 2024. So I think, you know, first, you have to understand what you're getting yourself into, and also know that it may change. So right now, you know, I say one of the things you absolutely have to be okay with, even if it's not one of your core values, is ambiguity. You have to know there's going to be some transition, there's going to be some change. And what this industry starts to look like can, you know, can differ. And I think the 20-year rule is a good one to talk about, because yes, it's been around 20-ish years. But when you compare that to many other professional industries, we're still very young in our very infancy stages. And so one, I would say focus on that. But two, understand, though you may look at, let's just use product manager as an example, you may look at a product manager role and you may know for a fact, based upon either the job description or what you know of the company, that they are running in an agile fashion. But that doesn't mean that a product manager in an agile space is the same job no matter what, you know, company you go to, even what team you go to within the same company. And so understanding what it is you really want in your environment. Do you want to move fast? And do you want to be responsible for other people? Do you want to be a people manager? There's lots of those kind of questions that I think are really important for you to ask yourself, especially because if we take, you know, the framework out of it, but by definition, agile just means it's going to continuously change. And are you comfortable with that?
I do like that. It's kind of like that's a core behind an agile career in general, is like it's always going to be changing. We're always going to be iterating. You're never going to have the same job twice. You know, I don't think I've ever been the same coach twice for any client because it's always different. And same with scrum mastership and product ownership. You got to be open to ambiguity and the challenge that comes along with that. You know, you're not just filling a desk or filling a seat. So I definitely like that as like a kind of a core value that you need to have, or something that challenges you, that you like that. You like being challenged. You like that your day may never be the same, or your job may never be the same across different teams. So let me think. So based on some of the things that you've said around, you know, the industry itself, for those who are not involved in the agile industry currently or are looking to transition, what's your advice for really knowing about what are the things that I should be looking for around a product manager role? And what are some good green flags versus red flags on a product manager role for particular companies? What should you really be looking for?
Oh, such a good question. Green flags, I would say, are ones that can answer hard questions. Even better, bonus points to them if it's in the job requisition and the description when you're looking at applying. If it is a very ambiguous, we have no process, you're going to be a one-man show, or you only have one other person that's working with this on you, or you don't have design, if there are gaps in the current part of the puzzle that you need, they need to be calling that out. And so to me, if they are admitting that and calling that out, that's a huge green flag. And it allows you to make an intentional decision. Do you want to get in there and deal with that chaos or fill that gap that may be, as I always kind of joke, this like upside down umbrella that just catches everything? So to me, that's one of the big green flags. The other thing is if they're a larger organization, do they have other people that can mentor you, that you can lean in on, that you can learn from? You know, it's one thing to say I'm employee number 12 at a startup, so you would expect to only be the only agile or product person there. But if you have 200 people in the product organization, you're certainly, you better hope, right, that some of those people are other mentors that you can lean on and learn from. Some of the big red flags for me is when you read the job description and you right away, you're like, is that a project manager? Is that a program manager? Is that a product manager? Is that a scrum master? Is that a janitor? Like when you read the job description and it's just, you can clearly kind of tell, right? It's this copy and paste. They grabbed it from another template somewhere and you're not actually sure what you would be doing in the day to day. That would really concern me. Especially if you do make it to the interview process and some of these questions that you're asking, they can't give you clear answers on, that would be a huge red flag to me.
Yeah, I love that, you know, I've seen it before in some of the job descriptions that I've seen is like, well, you know, you have to manage projects, you have to manage products, you have to, you know, be the technical SME on these four things, you have to understand the data architecture. And I'm like, those are five jobs. Like, I just, all right, if we're like the organizers of chaos here, cool. But like, those are five different jobs. And I just want to make sure that we're all clear on that. You know, that's how I would maybe come into the interview if I was interested in that type of position.
Well, and I would just, I'll add on to it too. I'm working with someone right now who's looking to break into product. She's coming from a clinical data background. So like she's got her numbers, you know, and she sent me an email yesterday based upon 3,000 applications in a year, 42% of them have been some sort of be everything, be hybrid, be all the things to our company, save our bottom line type of role. And so to me, one, these companies are missing out on people who want to break into the industry, who bring incredible backgrounds that would really transform the way products are built and delivered. But also, they're shooting their own selves in the foot. Like you said, you cannot be the everything to everyone and be successful at it. So if they want someone who's just filling a seat, like you mentioned earlier, great. You can do that. You can pay them decent money, let them just kind of flounder around to figure it out. Or do you really want to move the needle, make an impact, and use this person's, you know, knowledge as a resource for you and your company? Then you've got to get really clear on what you need. So I do think a lot of it goes back to the companies and their reality of needing to get real with themselves before they can start filling these roles. But definitely look out for that and know, you know, be okay with what you're getting yourself into.
Great. Wonderful. So now that you have kind of the core values, you know what you're desiring, you maybe have a good understanding of what's in the industry, what's not. And we've talked a bit about some of the things that we've worked through. We have some green flags, we have some red flags. So what's next? What do you suggest is next for people after they've kind of chosen maybe the particular role or the particular products? They understand what teams they want to work with. What are some good job applications that they might want to put in or apply for? What's next?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things that you could be doing in the interim. One is immerse yourself into the environment. So, you know, physical meetups are starting to come back. I definitely recommend it because you just don't know what kind of people you're going to meet or what opportunities are there. But in general, just being in the room with people who think and operate the way that you are trying to move your career into, it's contagious. Energy is real and you start to pick up from that. And so I think there's a lot of ways too you can start to embody those, you know, thought processes inside of your own life. My husband jokes with me all the time. He's like, do you ever turn off this like efficient brain where everything has to be done super quickly, super efficiently?
No.
Like, no, this is how I am. This is why this is what I was meant to do. I live this way, breathe this way, you know, think this way. And so you can start to do those now, even before you get placed in a role. Because of course, I can tell you to, you know, go network and build connections on LinkedIn and all of those matter, but you've heard that before. And so it's like, how do you step outside of that and do something a little bit unique and different? The other thing is start to build your muscles in the sense of, this is actually how I think Agile should be done, or this is actually how I think product, you know, should be delivered, because you can start to really own your stance in this industry. Because one, there's still so many openings and growth to happen because of its infancy. But two, we always need new thoughts, new expressions, new ways of doing things. And so now's your time to start figuring that out and practicing it and just start talking to people about it and get feedback and learn just like you would when you're on a team. So you can start to embody what you would carry with you into a new role.
Love that. You know, this reminds me of when I was in college, I had a class around product management. It wasn't product management specifically, but it was around defining and designing in technology. And one of the things that really flexed my muscles was starting to think about, if I was a product manager for this company, or even if you're thinking about applying to a certain company, if you're a product manager and you're applying to Edward Jones, for example, starting to think about and starting to flex those muscles of like, what are the first conversations I would want to have? What is the things that maybe I would need to know as a product manager in that space? What are things that I don't know currently and things that I'll want to know? And maybe even looking at that application and seeing what are the solutions they're looking to? Because a lot of times they'll have like ideas of certain solutions that they want or have or already developing. And so starting to think about, okay, what are the questions I would ask? How are the ways that I would design a potential product?
Yeah. And, you know, in this digital age, we're very lucky. If I know for sure I want to go work for Edward Jones, and maybe it's going to take me a little bit longer, but that is the place I want to be. Guess what? You can start customer discovery right now, today. You go on Reddit, you go on Google, you go on anywhere where people are talking about their life and what's going on, and you're going to be able to find what people say is working great about them and their product, what people say is not working great or that really frustrates them. So then it's like, as you get in the door, your first 90 days, you are already rocking and rolling, because now you've got some research already in your head. Now you're ready to start asking those deep questions, because you're right. When you take a new role, you've got to be really intentional about what do you spend your time when you first get started?
I love that. Great. Cool. so we're finishing up here around the discussion, but I wanted to make sure that we get to one of the final points that you had, which is, you know, once you're there, once you're in the interview, once we've kind of looked at some of the options, you're maybe at different meetup groups, things like that. How do you suggest women show up and what does that look like for you?
It's looked different over the years. So I say embrace that you may change as time goes on. But you're really deciding what makes you feel like you. And I'll give you a great example. You know, as a coach myself, I have plenty of coaches also, because we all have to grow. We all need help seeing the blind spots that we don't know are there. And I remember talking about, you know, finances as a business owner with one of my coaches. And I said to her, I'm like, I love getting my nails done. It makes me feel alive, but I feel guilty spending that money right now as I'm trying to grow my business. And she had a really good point. It's an investment in your business if it is an investment in you to show up like yourself. So for some of us, that's how we dress or how we do our hair or what makeup we wear or choosing not to do any of that. You know, whatever it may be, embrace that. You know, I say all the time, do not put me in an office desk with an office chair, because I'm not going to be my most efficient, powerful self. Give me a cozy chair with a rolling desk. I'm in it. I'm ready to go. I can work for hours. And so it's those kind of things that you have to know what makes you you and really lets you show up as who you really are and feel so confident in yourself that it doesn't matter what happens during the day. Because you know you can do it, you know you can get through it, and biggest thing of all, there is no failure because you're going to learn from all of it.
Yeah, and I think we have so many, there's so many different cultures out there now, and there's so many different workplaces and work-life balance that finding what works for you, if you're truly showing up for yourself, is possible. You can find those spaces, but you have to be available and open and understand what those spaces look like to you and then show up in that way. As you were saying with the, you know, having your nails in a certain way or, you know, your hair or what have you, for the right company, it's either not going to matter or it really is, you know, in how they're going to support you in that journey.
Yeah. And that support piece is so important. Because if it matters to them in a negative way and it's important to you, you guys aren't a good fit anyway. So probably in the long run, it's not going to work out in this longevity or really life-changing way. So you might be saving yourself a lot of heartache if you just decide to move on and look for the next thing because they don't allow you to show up as how you want to anyway.
Yeah, that's a part of the choosing, right? In this topic today, choosing your career, that you have the power of choice.
Absolutely.
I took that directly, by the way, from Gabrielle. So don't, it's not my quote, it's their quote. All right. So now onto our closer questions. What are you doing currently for your own personal growth? What are you geeking out about now?
Oh, I am really learning to geek out about marketing and sales funnels, actually, which is funny because much like you, you know, I'm still what I would consider in my infancy phases of entrepreneurship because I'm under 5 years. And so I am leaning into the uncomfortable for me, the things that I don't have experience in and learning from that. And so that looks like, you know, networking with people who are better in that space than I am, taking courses, you know, just learning from the LinkedIn universe, right? Just really leaning into what I'm not great at so I can get better at it is one of my biggest focuses heading into the new year.
So any final wisdom you want to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, I want to lean into that power of choice. You know, absolutely. Like Emily said, you have the power of choice. And I would be remiss if I don't, you know, recognize that the industry has not made us feel that way right now, especially with as crazy as the market has been. But I just want to leave you with whatever is going on in your job search or your desire to change jobs, it does not define you. It's not who you are. It is just a piece of the market right now. And so don't let that dim your light. You are still shining bright and you're going to make a big impact on someone at the right company when the time is supposed to be.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Gabrielle. It's fantastic to talk to you and to talk about things that we're both passionate about, which is getting people into the right careers, making sure that they are in the spaces that they want to be, that they feel passionate about. And I think that's something that I think a lot of women are going to resonate with.
Thank you so much, Emily. I love anytime we get to talk.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Women in Agile podcast series. It is brought to you in partnership from the Women in Agile nonprofit and scrub.org. We hope you've learned something new and invite you to tell a friend or a coworker about the podcast. Go online to womeninagile.org to learn more about our initiatives and find more inspiring podcast conversations.